If you are visiting with us, we are following a theme through the year called Uncharted, and right now we're in a book of Proverbs with a series theme called Got Wisdom. And I did something different today than I normally do. In your bulletin is a separate paper, and that is because, as you can see, the outline is long. And the reason it's long is because I've included all the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, other than one or two that I will mention to you. Rather than be flipping back and forth and trying to do that through Proverbs, which would take forever and a day, I thought I'd make it a little bit easier and do that. So if you want to follow along, the outline is in the bulletin. It's also going to be up on the screen. All the fill-ins will be there. And it says that we're going to read some assorted scripture, and that's going to be during the sermon. But if you have your Bible, would you please go to Proverbs chapter 9? This will serve as the foundation of the whole message, Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to read all of the verses. It's not very long, but it will allow us to begin to focus on this whole idea of the wise and the otherwise. So let's start with verse 1 of Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She also set her table. She sent out her young woman to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, which is another word for hell. Let's pray as we ask God to open his word to us. Lord, I pray that you will give us insight today. I pray for each person in this room. As we talk about the wise versus the otherwise, help us to look within our own hearts, not to point fingers at anybody else and say that's that person or that's this person, but instead just simply to look inside and say, is this me? It's a waste of breath for me to be here if we do not make personal application. And so I pray that you'll help us to do that. And then, Lord, find our hearts ready to hear. Help us to shut out other things and just simply ask you to speak to us. And then I pray that as I bring the message this morning, that you'll help me to step aside and that we might see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Many of you are old enough, and you don't have to raise your hands, but many of you are old enough to remember Charles Schulz and his cartoon strip Peanuts. I know some of you are going, huh, who's that? I remember the Christmas thing, but that's about it. But Charlie Brown was the main character, but he had a cast of other characters that he shared equal time with. There was Lucy, whom I despised, Snoopy, Linus, Beethoven, and a whole host of others. Now, you remember that Charlie was Lucy's foil. She would promise him that she wouldn't pull the football out from underneath him, and every time he went to kick the football, she did. And you'd think he'd learn his lesson, but Charlie was kind of a trusting soul, so and every time she did that, it made me mad. Snoopy, if you remember, dreamed that he was the opponent of the Red Baron, and he was in a dogfight in the heavy air of World War II. Charlie's favorite expression was what? Good grief. Linus was a blanket-carrying little boy who was actually pretty intelligent. One of the expressions I remember him saying, and I will never forget this, he says, "I love mankind, it's people I can't stand." Yeah, I know exactly what he means. And then I saw this quote by poet, the playwright, George Bernard Shaw. He said, "If the planets are inhabited, they're using the Earth for an insane asylum." And when I read that, I laughed. I thought, yep, been there, done that one. There are many types of individuals who are presented for us in the book of Proverbs. I mean, we could go over and over, but I don't think none are as prominent as the fool versus the wise person. Versus the, for example, the one who pursues wisdom, and he is called the wise, versus the one who pursues the foolish things. Proverbs chapter 9 is a chapter that actually shows us that there is a road, and on either side of the road there is a house. On one house is the house of wisdom, on the other house is the house of folly. And as you read this chapter and you keep that in mind, you have a house of wisdom opening itself up saying, "Come and join us." But at the same time, there's this house of folly saying, "Come, join us." What I want to do today is something that's totally different from what I normally do. Is I want to take you through the wise. What is a wise person? And then shift gears a little bit and take you through the other wise, or what is the person who will pursue the house called folly. So let's just go ahead and get started, and let's talk about the wise. And what are the characteristics of a wise person? The first characteristic of a wise person is they will listen to wise instruction. Chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, "Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become wiser." You see, a wise person will understand that they never stop learning. They will always be listening to somebody else. They will understand that they will never stop learning until the day they get to heaven when knowledge becomes perfected. So we're always learning and then always growing. Now, for those who follow Christ, please hear this. It's not enough to have a study Bible. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to memorize the Bible. It's not enough to know the Bible. Do you realize that there are some atheists who know more about the Bible than those who follow Christ? The most important thing, though, is not to know any of that, but actually to be able to apply it and be able to allow God to speak to us. There used to be a phrase years ago, G-I-G-O. Gigo, what's that mean? Garbage in, garbage out. And if you fill yourself with garbage, guess what comes out? Garbage. And so what we need to do is we need to listen to God's word and we need to allow it to fill us. The second characteristic of a wise person is wise people fear the Lord. The scripture in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 3 verse 7 it says, "Be not wise in your own eyes." Now, understand this, that fear of the Lord has nothing to do with being afraid of God. Okay, I need to set that out right at the very beginning. That is not being afraid of God. The fear of the Lord is where you honor Him and give Him the praise and the honor that He deserves. You respect Him. You revere Him. So we don't have to be afraid of going into the presence of God. But what the fear of God does is it gives us security and it also gives us hope for the future. And another thing the fear of God does, it helps us to keep our priorities straight. Look at the scripture from 15:16. It says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. You see the comparison? There are so many people who say, I gotta have more. What they don't understand is sometimes if you fear God, the best thing is not to have a lot. Because there is security and there is satisfaction in that. There's a third characteristic of someone who is wise, and that is a wise person will choose good company. Someone has said, you are known by the company that you keep. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Boy, isn't that true? You see, we are known by the company we keep. And those whom we spend our time with will influence us more than we realize. You know, one of the saddest parts is, are those people who say, well, you know, I'm going to spend time with them and I'm going to lift them up. And what we find out is that oftentimes those who are not followers of Christ pull us down instead of pulling us up. Maybe that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 is right when it says bad company corrupts good morals. See, so we need to make sure that the company we keep is good company. You hang around fools, you become a fool. Chapter 12, verse 26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So be cautious. I'm not saying withdraw yourself completely. We're going to talk about that next week. You don't withdraw yourself completely from people, but you're cautious in your friendships. The fourth characteristic of a wise person is they are not edgy. I do not mean that you don't, you know, when I say edgy, I'm not saying you're on your last nerve. But by edgy, I'm referring to those who don't see how close they can get to the end or the edge with sin. How many times have we even talked in this series about the scripture that says when you carry coals close to your body, you can expect to get burnt? You know, if you play with fire, finish it. You either get burnt or you smell like smoke. And so what we need to understand is that I'm not talking about those people who like to live on the edge, like to live adventure. I'm not talking about those people. But I'm talking about those who think that I can get as close to sin as possible, right to the edge, and not give in. I was reading a book while I was working on this called Acts of God. And it's by Bob Russell, and it was on pain. And in that, he makes reference to a book that he once read. It's called Over the Edge, Death in the Grand Canyon. And it's story after story after story of people who thought they didn't need to abide by the rules. It's kind of like what we have at Cataract Falls. I don't need to listen to the rules. I can play on the falls. Yeah, I can fall too. Well, that's what this book is all about, is people who believe that they didn't need to abide by the rules at the Grand Canyon. One of them was a man who was taking a picture, and he kept backing up until he backed up too far. One is of an 18-year-old who decided she wanted to get off the path because she wanted a picture taken at a place called Inspiration Point. And she was sitting on the edge of the canyon when the rocks let loose, and she plunged 1,200 feet to her death. Now, those are stories that happen in the Grand Canyon. What about people who do that in life? We see how close we can get to the edge. And I'm not talking about adventure, but we see how close we can get to the edge morally. How close we can get without, quote, sinning. So, wise people are not edgy. The fifth example is wise people watch their words. Chapter 16, verse 23 of Proverbs says, a wise man's heart guards his mouth, or guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. That's hard for us people who like to talk, you know. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. You see, sometimes we don't understand the power of speech. And one of the things that Proverbs teaches us is the power of speech and the importance of bridling our tongue. In 2 weeks, I'm going to preach a message called Say What? And it's going to be basically on our tongue, on the things that we say. But let me just kind of give a preview to this. When we fill our mouths and our speech with profanity and with slander and with gossip and with mean words, wise people watch what they say. And finally, wise people seek to influence others to trust God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures soul is wise. Souls are wise. I really like the New Living Translation with this a little bit better. The seed of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends. Now here's how this works. The word captures or the word wins is a picture of a hunter catching his prey. Now, I have never heard of this. Maybe I'm behind the times, but I have never heard of a hunter going up to a grizzly bear with a club and clubbing him to death. I've never heard of somebody running after a deer and tackling it and then knocking it out. They set the trap. They hunt their prey. And they watch it get caught. What he's talking about here is you win more by honey than by meanness. You don't thump somebody over the head and hope that they get the message. We capture with wise words and wise actions, not a club. Now, that's a hint of a wise person. You're going, holy mackerel, there's a lot of stuff there. Yeah, there is. But read the book of Proverbs and you'll find a whole lot more examples of what a wise person is supposed to be. But I want to take us to the next one, and that is the other wise. I want to do a comparison. I want to move on. There are several different words, and they are used all in Proverbs chapter 9. There are several different words for the fool. And here's how they are. The first one that's used is the wicked person. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 19 is a good example of a wicked person. Now, we don't like to talk about, man, that person is really evil. That person is really wicked. So we might use another word, like the second one. They're simple. But we don't like that word either. Let me put another word to it. Naive. Look at the scripture, 14:15. A simple or naive man believes anything. Is that correct? But a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. But there's one other word that's used to describe the fool, and that is the scorner. My translation uses the word scoffer. I like the word scoffer better. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man, who acts with arrogant pride. That's Proverbs 21:24. So we have the wicked, we have the simple, and we have the scoffer. All of that finds itself wrapped up in one word. F-O-O-L. And we don't like to call each other, you're a fool. I don't want to be called a fool. And yet when you look at the scriptures, when you look at Proverbs, that's exactly what he says in verse 13. The woman folly or fool is loud. She's seductive and she knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling those who pass by, "Hey, come over here, you who are simple. Come on in here." And people will follow there. So what is a foolish person? By the way, it's interesting that the word fool, from the Latin word, is the word bellows. It's the puffed up cheeks. We'll call them a windbag. You know, one of the most annoying things to me, and I know that maybe I'm quirky. Okay, I am. Is when you go by and these car dealers or whoever has these things that are real tall. You know, and I'm going, "Oh, give me a break here," you know, and you see these, they look like Gumby, you know. How about at Christmas time? All these people have these blow up things, and they're really nice, but did you ever go by during the day? That's the picture that this gives us of the fool. They're a windbag, they fill up with air, and then they are no substance. Now you see why he tells us to be careful of the company that we keep. All right, so what are the characteristics of a fool? Number one, fools won't learn from God's word. What does the scripture say? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. A person who refuses to listen to God's word or to accept the matter of listening to God's word is not a person of low IQ. They're not deficient in their education. It's here. It's their heart. It's all messed up. And they're not focused on what's important. Second example, or second reason, fools can't control their speech. 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Speeches of a foolish person is a speech of pride. It's a speech of know-it-all. Someone has said those who are fools do a lot of talking and signifying and saying nothing. They talk a lot and say absolutely nothing. It's interesting, if you will take a look at Proverbs chapter 10, let me show you verse 8. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Verse 10, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. Isn't it interesting that they call him a babbling fool? It's because they can't control their speech. Number three, fools can't control their temper. 12:16, a fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Okay, I've said this before. Let's say it again. You don't have to say all that's on your mind. There is such a thing as doing this. It's called holding your tongue. There's such a thing as holding your tongue and not saying all that you think. So many people take pride, and this is where the arrogance comes in. So many people take pride in saying, I tell it like it is, and if they don't like it, tough. You know what? A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And you may take pride in saying, I tell it exactly like it is, and they'll know exactly where I stand. You know, there's a time and a place to let people know where you stand, but there's a way to do it too. Some people take pride in taking out their six guns. Here, so I shot you dead. Or they take out their shotgun and blow someone's doors off. I don't grasp that. I don't understand that. But the Bible describes that person as a fool. Not me. The Bible does. Number four. Fools are proud and self-confident. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? You see, there comes a point in time where we need to stop being so proud, to stop being so arrogant. So stop putting on airs that we have this self-confidence that we can lick anything. Sometimes we just need to get a good dose of humility. And the final characteristic of a fool, fools create problems, not solve them. Proverbs talks a lot about how fools cause their parents problems. And yeah, that's talking about the kids. About fools who cause their parents problems. But it goes beyond that, because there are some people who take great delight in causing problems and complaining about things but have no solutions. One of the things that I guess that is a pet peeve of mine is someone who wants to always complain but has no solutions. You know, if you got a problem and you have a solution, present the solution along with the problem. But fools take great delight in causing the problem, but very little can they solve them. And I'm not saying that you don't speak up, but you speak up with the right attitude. If you feel like you need to blow off, go outside. There's a way to tell things and a way not to tell things. We can choose, as Proverbs chapter 9 tells us, we can choose between being wise or being a fool. And the best picture is there is this road, and on either side of the road is this house, and on one house is wisdom and the other house is folly, and they're both of them are calling to us. The question is which one will we listen to? You've seen the examples of what a wise person is. You've seen the examples of what a foolish person is. So let me ask you this question. Which one are you, and which one do you want to be? If they're not the same, it's time to take stock. Because the wise person listens to God's word. The wise person says, I'm not there yet. The wise person says, I got to learn. And the wise person says, I will pursue God above everything else. So again, I ask you the question, which house are you visiting? The house of wisdom or the house of folly? And if you've chosen the wrong one, I pray that today you will make the right choice of choosing the house of wisdom. Let's pray. And Father, I do ask that you might help us to be wise people. In theory, the answer to which one we want to choose should be easy, in theory. But wow, the choices become more and more difficult as we live on this earth. I pray that you will help us. Help me to be a wise person. To be a person who pursues you a person who wants to keep his tongue under control, a person who wants to keep his temper under control, a person who wants to be kind in his speech, a person who wants to just simply follow you. And Father, I pray that as we do that, I honestly believe if we are the one who wants to go to the house of wisdom, our lives are going to change and people are going to notice the change because everything about us is going to change. Our demeanor, our speech, our actions, all of it will change as we pursue you. So Father, help us to be those who want to be wise and not be the otherwise. As we come to our time of communion, I pray that you will help us as we reflect on what it means to be a wise person, to follow the wisest of all, and to make our lives like his. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our time of communion is for you to take stock of where you're at. Wise people, you already know what they're like. So the question is are you a wise person? If not, now's the time to say, okay, Father, I've really kind of messed up. I've taken things in my own hands. I've lost control. I've lost my speech. I've lost my temper. Now's the time to say, I'm sorry for that. And to say, from now on, I want to change. The wisest person of all, of course, was Jesus. And it's interesting to me that when they questioned his wisdom at the age of 12, he was in the temple teaching the wise men what real wisdom was. When they questioned him, he said, "Don't you know that I need to be about my Father's business?" The question that comes to me is, Bill, if you are wise, are you about the Father's business? The Father's business is going to lead me to the house of wisdom, not the house of folly. And as you take communion today, I want you to just follow Jesus. Hebrews tells us to keep your eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and gave his life. Be wise. And if you find yourself following the fool and being the fool, now's the time to say, okay, things got to change. And now's the time to change it. We're going to have you, you'll be served communion. We ask that you hold it. And then I'll come back up and we'll take it together.